Tuesday is the third anniversary of the shooting at Marysville-Pilchuck High School. A student gunman killed four of his friends and seriously wounded a fifth before taking his own life on October 24th, 2014. This year's anniversary comes a little over 3 weeks after the mass shooting in Las Vegas. You're listening to KNKX, and for Christina Anderson of Seattle, remembering tragedies like these is painful. She was seriously wounded in the shooting at Virginia Tech 10 years ago. A gunman killed 32 people and wounded 17 others before turning the gun on himself. Anderson was trapped in a classroom when the gunman walked in.
I describe it as an evil heat wave that was coming closer and closer.
Anderson now heads a foundation that focuses on improving school safety. She talked with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick.
What was your recovery like from that day forward?
Initially, it was about a week in the hospital, and then I went home and for about maybe a month and a half, 2 months. So my entire abdomen was pretty shattered. I lost gallbladder, a significant part of my colon, kidney, small, large intestine. So it was strange to go from being a really independent 19-year-old who could do certain things to rising out of bed or coughing or laughing or even chewing was really frightening. And then on the psychological level, things like being in the shower were frightening because it's a small space. And I thought, well, someone walks in right now, I'm stuck. There's a big window to my left, you know, looking outside of that in the evenings when I couldn't sleep, thinking, is someone out there trying to break in? So the physical part, because it was so constricting and sharp and painful, I would go through these moments of just when I thought that I was doing better through physical therapy, a poke or something with my intestines would remind me that it was going to be a longer time to recover. And then I went back to Virginia Tech the following semester and began like the psychological recovery of understanding what it meant to be a survivor and be around people that also had a significant level of trauma and exposure with the day that may want to talk to you but didn't always have the words and language to begin that conversation.
Was it hard to go back to Virginia Tech?
I never had a question of whether I would go back because it's a very close space. And so it wasn't hard from the sense of I never blamed the school. I maybe should have waited a little bit longer before I came back. Maybe I should give myself a semester at home. But at the same time, at least I jumped in and then I quickly sought therapy the following semester. And I'm glad I did.
Did you have memories of that day coming back to you fairly quickly? Did it take time to put the pieces back together as far as remembering what happened exactly?
There were parts of the day that always replay themselves. The loud noises, the initial gunshots. I've always kind of thought back to what if I had moved faster to the door? What if I had recognized what that was? I reached out to some of the law enforcement who rescued us within about 2 years. I've been very fortunate that many of our officers have been very forthcoming and open to having, quite frankly, a pretty difficult conversation with someone that they don't know at the time about pretty terrible details. So I purposefully and have gone back in the building and tried to kind of recreate it and try to understand that and then add up what was real and then what I sort of imagined and what I thought I felt.
Well, we've had school shootings here in this region. We had a shooting at a mall in Burlington last year, and we've even had some people from our region impacted by the shooting in Las Vegas. As a survivor, what was your reaction when you heard the news about Las Vegas?
It was utter shock and sadness and disbelief. The sheer numbers at first, which caught me off guard, because if the initial reports are already 50, you kind of think it's going to be a little bit higher. So I've learned since, you know, hearing about the Marysville, Washington shooting or the Pulse nightclub or San Bernardino or many others to kind of wait a little bit and not read too much of the news. But the headlines of it being that big, I wanted to know who and what and why. I go into a space of numbness and anxiety and just like real like sadness, just really sad, because I think about our event and you never want your shooting to be forgotten or to feel like it happened for nothing when we have more events occurring after that.
You've gone to college campuses since the Las Vegas shooting. What have you heard from people?
It sounds pretty terrible to say, but people are becoming a little bit more desensitized to it. And so the conversations since Vegas weren't that different than they were before. It actually helps in some way to help reinvigorate their own sense of why this is important to talk about this. people are much more willing to engage and to cross those boundaries in their heads, which are, I can see, are really hard to do of, hey, this might happen to me and my family, and what can I, how can I think about this in advance? And so trying to balance people's sense of helplessness and fear with some proactive education and some way to say that this doesn't have to happen and that there's things you can do.
Well, you founded the Koshka Foundation for mm-hmm. Safe Schools. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so initially, a lot of my parents, family, and friends sent donations and funds to our family, which was very kind. But the hospital covered all bills, and my parents could afford physical therapy. So it went into a 501c3 nonprofit, and Koshka means cat in Russian. It's my family nickname that I've had since I was little. But about 2 years afterwards, I gave a presentation in a space in Washington, D.C., and it was not a great presentation. I cried halfway through and wasn't very, you know, well-prepared or well-spoken, but it won an award. And from that, over the next couple of years, a few other similar events came to fruition. And these were public spaces, and I thought, why would anyone want to hear about the worst day of my life? And then Sandy Hook happened, and I was living here in Seattle, and I thought, this isn't real. Like, just the number was so high. And that day was a very, very hard one. So I went back to D.C. I kind of was brought back in for different work and things. And then I discovered law enforcement as a group to really connect with. And so the initial work with the foundation is doing training and discussion about active shooter response and prevention for police. Since Virginia Tech, there's been a great amount of significant change in campus higher education, emergency notification, and this realm of how do we train the public, civilians, of what to do in these types of events. And I think my experience and now the evolution of this has been bringing in others who have experienced similar events helps to create more discussion and more thoughtful dialogue, because the deepest and most significant part of my recovery has been talking to people from Columbine High School or Sandy Hook, people that didn't have exactly one-on-one experiences but could relate to some of those same trauma and fear and trying to navigate life as a survivor that really, like, there's no handbook for. And maybe together we can write some of those chapters.
A lot of people listening may have been impacted by one of the shootings we've had in our region over the past few years. They may have been touched by Las Vegas. Doing the work that you do and living through what you lived through, what advice do you have for someone who may still be in the early stages of trying to heal?
One of the first things I would say is do not judge yourself and don't worry about seeking help at any point that you might want it, and to take things on your own level and don't compare yourself to others. But if you're impacted by Las Vegas or you're re-triggered or you're just at the early stages, I would say think into your experience and what part of it makes you the most anxious or interested, or what kind of questions do you have, and tell your friends and your family, if you're willing to, that they're allowed to ask questions. Because I think sometimes those barriers can be set up pretty early and that they're later hard to overcome. But also know that it's going to be lifelong process. And unfortunately, there's an element of acceptance that takes a long time, I think, depending on how old you are and what the experience was. It can be quite shattering to your perception of the world. But know that there's going to be positive things that come out of that and positive people that you meet and the lessons that you'll take from that that you wouldn't have gained otherwise.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Virginia Tech shooting survivor Christina Anderson of Seattle, talking with 88.5's Kirsten Kendrick. To find out more about her foundation, go to our website, knkx.org.